I want to express appreciation, first of all, to God allowing Sister Gibbs and I to travel and then to return. It's always good to be able to return from whence you left. And so we're thankful that God has brought us back, and also that we have found everything as we left it. And we just needed to water the plants and make sure that they revived, but God is truly a good God. We are very thankful to the elders of this church as well as the ministers who work diligently to guide and to lead this church. And I am just blessed to be a part of the group of men who lead this church and who provide this church with the nourishment that I believe God would have it to have in order to be a great, great source of light in this community, also in the world. We are also very, very thankful to those of you who are visiting with us. We acknowledge you and we thank you for your presence. And later on in our worship service, we will acknowledge you and make you feel even more welcome here at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. Pray that I get reacclimated. It's just a little different to see this great audience. I don't see this when I'm away. Come back, it's a little intimidating. So just understand that I do have to make an adjustment. I have listened to some of the lessons on the web, and thank Brother Bradshaw. He said, "I've been globetrotting like a young man." Amen. Even drive. Yeah, but I'm not a young man anymore. I know better than that. But that's what I've been perpetrating, but that's not the case, and I know better than that. But I appreciated the lessons, and they've done an outstanding job as they have spoken to our theme. I want to continue looking at our theme, the prophetic parables of Jesus. And Jesus has a lot to teach us, and it's just a blessing to be able to hear his teaching for us. When you talk about a parable, and I know you've had definitions given, but let me give again. Parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. But in this case, they are simple stories told by Jesus. And these parables, though being simple, the messages convey very deep and central teaching that Jesus desires all of his followers to grasp, understand, and live by. And when we think in terms of interpreting parables and studying them, they must be studied in connection with the full exposition of divine truth. What I mean by that is that as you center your attention on his story, there are divine truths, though there is a central message that he is conveying at that particular time. Yet all of the divine truths of the scripture must come and bear on our understanding of that particular story. Each one of them are very rich, and I have chosen to speak to you from the one found in Luke chapter 16 and verses 1 through 8. He also said to his disciples, "There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that his man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship. You can no longer be steward." Then the steward said within himself, and I want you to listen to what he says within himself. "What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me." Then he says, "I cannot dig, and I am ashamed to beg." But he wasn't ashamed to waste his master's goods. He says, "I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship," now that's key, "when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me in their houses." So he called every one of his master's debtors to him, said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, "Take your bill, sit down," watch the word, "quickly, and write 50. He's on his way out. So the master, and then he said to another, "How much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, "Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward, because he had dealt shrewdly, King James says, wisely. For the sons of this world are more shrewd or wise in their generation than the sons of light. Lessons from the unjust steward. Probably a better subject would be a bad man's good example. A bad man's good example. This particular story is about money, and it's about covetousness. In the previous chapters, especially chapter 15, you go back there, look with me. In verse number 1, I want you to see who all is present when he tells this particular parable or simple story. "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" In the context of this simple story, you have Jesus, you have the Pharisees and the scribes, you have the sinners, tax collectors, and you also have Jesus' disciples. When Jesus takes time to eat with the tax collectors, those antagonists against him, being the Pharisees and the scribes, they're always looking for a way to discredit Jesus, to trap him. So Jesus is aware, and so he gives a parable. Verse number 3, he talks about the parable of the shepherd who had 100 sheep. You know the story. Then he gives the parable concerning the lost coin. Then he gives the parable of the lost son. Two sons were in this parable. One that was a prodigal who left home, and one who was a prodigal at home. And the prodigal who left home wasted his father's substance on riotous living. When you come to verse number 1 of chapter 16, the Bible said he also said, watch the word, he also said. Now, I've already told you these three parables. concerning the lost sheep, corn, son. But I also want you to hear this parable. And the question is, how does this parable fit with the other three parables? Well, it's who he's addressing. The first three parables, he's addressing the scribes and the Pharisees, helping them to understand God's heart. The heart of God is that he is seeking to save those that are lost. He is desirous of all men being saved, that he'll go to any extent. He'll go to the very farthest mile in order to save those that are lost. But he also now wants to speak to his disciples. Now, I want to tell you something about these Pharisees, because these Pharisees who are following me and who are antagonizing me, these individuals are covetous. These individuals love money. Now, they're not interested in what I'm saying. They're not interested in saving the lost. But what they want to do is to discredit my word. Now, to know that that's the truth, in chapter 16, verse number 14, Jesus emphatically says, "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things." And then the Bible said, "And they derided him." They kept pressing him and kept trying to discredit him. And so when you look at this particular parable, you have to understand that Jesus is helping his disciples to get away from covetousness, get away from being lovers of money, putting their ministry and their relationship with God in proper perspective. The Pharisees are out of focus. They are out of tune. They have no understanding of really what it's all about. So he gives this parable concerning stewardship. So as I address you this morning, understand that this is a lesson concerning stewardship. And when you think in terms of him saying there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him. In other words, there was a whistleblower among them. Amen. Amen. That blew the whistle on this steward. He blew the whistle. So anyway, come back with me now. Now, here's what you have to see, is that stewardship is very important. Let me help you to understand. A steward is a manager of another's wealth. Are you with me? A steward is a manager of another's wealth. He does not own the wealth himself, but he has the privilege of enjoying it and using it for the profit of the master. Now you can use it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can benefit from it, but it's not yours. It's your master's. It's your master's money. It's your master's goods. And when you think in terms of a steward, here's what is required of a steward. The Bible says, moreover, in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So, understanding stewardship, Pharisees and the scribes need to understand that they are stewards. The disciples need to understand that they are stewards of God. They don't own anything, but they are put in charge of the things of God. And God requires of them to be faithful. Well, these stewards, this steward in our parable, had this responsibility, but the problem was he was unfaithful. He wasted. He took his master's goods and wasted them. Well, what does waste mean? Waste simply means that he scattered it to the wind. He was unscrupulous about what he did. He was a scoundrel. He was a crook. Let me see if I can find another one. He was a rascal. I put that one in there. Now this, you know, how can Jesus want to use a rascal, a bad man, to give us a good example? I'm gonna try to help us to find out what's good about him. For right now, he's not looking too good. Now, what you have to see is that in this particular story, the steward forgot his role. And that's what I don't ever want any, and I don't think Jesus wants any of us to ever forget our role and begin to act like we are the owner and not the steward. Stay in your lane. Understand that all of us are stewards. This man was wasting his master's goods, and his master heard about it and immediately asked for an inventory, immediately asked for an audit, immediately asked that he reconcile the books. Of course, when he asked him to do that, he fired him. And you know, when I think in terms of this steward, now this is what I think was good about him. Here's what was good about him, is what he said to himself. When he knew he was being put out, when he knew that he no longer had a job, this is what is to be commendable and you and I should learn from. And that is what he said within himself. The steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship from me. I cannot dig, and I am ashamed to beg. Well, I have resolved what to do." So he's a thinker. Amen. He's a thinker. Oh, church, Jesus wants us to be a thinker. In other words, you know, just don't let life just pass you by without giving some consideration to what you're doing and what's happening to you. You're going to have to be shrewd. You're going to have to be wise. You're going to have to be sagacious about your circumstance. Understand your circumstance. Give some thought to it. And so Jesus is commending this man is because this man is a thinker. This man is able to see his situation and then do something about his situation. And now he uses some unscrupulous means, but at least he is preparing for, watch this, he is preparing for the day that he's no longer steward. And so what I believe Jesus wants us to do, he wants us to understand that stewardship, number one, is going to always come and be called in for reconciliation. If you're a steward, somewhere along the line, you're going to be called in order to give an account of your stewardship. Number two, you're going to have to understand that the time is going to come that you're going to have to decide which way you're going to go. Now, I'm just simply saying to us that Jesus is not commending him for his being unscrupulous. That's not what he's commending him for. Jesus is not using this parable to commend us doing wrong. What he's doing is trying to get us to see that even a crook knows how to think and plan for his departure. You and I need to be wise as this crook, and that is plan your departure. Plan how you're going to exit this life. Plan how you're going to appear before the great God of heaven in whom all these things belong. So he is commending him for that. And then he was wise enough to go to all of the creditors and those individuals that owed his master money. And he cut their bills and gave them a break. And then that way, when he was thrown out, those creditors owed him something. And so he didn't have to go beg. He just go knock on the door of the one who he cut and said, all right, now you know I cut you a deal. All right, now you let me in. And so that's what happened. And that's the way he thought. Well, as I conclude, and when I say conclude, it might be 30 minutes. But watch this now. But watch this now. I just want you to watch this because it's a beautiful, and it makes you wonder why Jesus would even use it, but that's your master. Your master knows everything. Hear me well. He sees the good and the bad, and he's able to take from the bad and even get some good out of it. Now, that's a good lesson right there. Everybody just wants, well, anyway, good point. Now, watch this. And verse number 9, I want you to just follow this. And I say to you, make friends. Now, Jesus is through with the parable. Well, verse 8, let's go to 8. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly or wisely. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. He said, those people in the world have better judgment than you and I in the kingdom. All right? He says, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon. In other words, use money. That's what he's talking about. Use money wisely. Use it wisely. That when you fail, because you're going to fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. In other words, be careful how you use money. Now, how you use money says a whole lot about how you deal with spiritual things. Watch this. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. Someone said, well, Brother Gibbs, I didn't get much. Well, he's not judging you on what you didn't get. He's judging you on what you got. And he wants to know how faithful are you over that little that you have. And watch what he said. What's your attitude toward it? He said, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful in also that which is much. If you're faithful with $5, then he can. He said, you're all right with $5,000. But if you can't treat five right, then you might well forget about getting $5,000. Amen. Somebody said, well, give me $5,000. I'll treat. No. I want to know how you're dealing with that five. Amen. Amen. Almost like the man who said, the point that I'm making is that you better be careful how you deal with what you have. Amen. Don't talk, well, I'm poor. No. No, he knows you poor, but he watching what you do with your pension that comes in. Now watch this. Therefore, I'm in verse number 11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, if you haven't been faithful in dealing with money here on earth, who will commit to you true riches? In other words, God is watching how we use money. He's watching us. And God said, if you're abusing and you're not a good steward of the money that you have here, he said, how in the way are you going to get good? How am I going to turn riches over to you in heaven? So he's watching how we deal with our money. Amen. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who's going to give you your own? Now, if you're mistreating mine, amen. I don't have to give you an illustration, but you got it, right? All right. No servant can serve what? Two masters. For either he will what? He'll hate the what? One and do what? And love the other. Or else he will what? Be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve what? God and mammon. Now, what's wrong with the Pharisees? Is they serving mammon. And they're not serving God. So, you and I today, we're going to have to make up in our mind, who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve God? Or are we going to serve mammon? Now, how you look at mammon is so important. As I close, here's what I want you to see. The money that you have is not yours. Somebody said it. What? It all belongs to whom? God. I hear people say, well, this is my money. No, it's not your money. I have a right to do with my money what I want to do. It's not your money. Your money is God's money. God has just allowed you to have it, and he's watching how you are a steward over it. Now, hoard it if you want to. And God has said, I'm gonna call you on the carpet. Watch the rich man in Luke chapter 12. His fields brought forth plentiful, and he said, what I'll do, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater barn. And then I'll say to my soul, soul, eat thou, for thou hast much good stored up for many years. And God said, thou fool, this night. This night, you're going to have to give an account of your stewardship. And he said, all that you have gained, he said, you're going to die and leave it all. The Bible is right. You brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that you're taking nothing out of it. Now, bank all you want to. Put it all in those CDs and play the stock market if you want to. But every dollar you get, it belongs to God Almighty. And God is watching how we deal with what we get from him. Now, what are you doing with the money? Are we just using it for ourselves? Have we forgotten that it belongs to God? Now, God doesn't mind us using it and enjoying it. But just remember whose it is. And when you use it and buy your Mercedes, hey man, just know that's God's Mercedes because you bought it with God's money. Amen. I'm not trying to push us away from material things. God gave us this world in order for us to enjoy it. But he wants you to always remember who it belongs to. That was one of Israel's faults. God gave them the promised land. Deuteronomy 8, in your spare time, you read that. God said, you're going to get over there and you're going to get full and you're going to forget who gave you all of this. God doesn't want us to get to the point where we forget from whence our blessings come. He gave us the ability to get wealth. That's what he says in Deuteronomy 8 and verse number 17. He says, and thou say in thine heart, my power and my might hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. And I'm in verse 18 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. He says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee what? Power to get wealth, that he establishes covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, and it is as it is this day. So I am simply saying to us, what we have, church, God gave it to us. Amen. What God has allowed us to acquire, allowed us to be able to enjoy, go home and thank God for it. When you get in your car, thank God for it. When you see your health, thank God for it. That's all I'm saying. Learn to whom all things belong. God said that the earth is mine. And all things that dwell therein belong to me. The gold is mine. The silver is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. He's not just talking about cattle, because if he was just talking about cattle, well, what about the 1,001? No, all of the cattle are mine. And so we're going to have to be good stewards over our money. May I suggest to us as I close that we learn to be good stewards over our time. Time is what God has given you. Time is God's. Don't see time as just something of yours. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse number 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Be wise men, redeeming the time. Redeeming simply means take advantage of the opportunities that you have. Don't squander time. God is going to call you into account. How did you use your time? He's not against us enjoying things and having opportunities for things, but how much time do you spend for me? Do you spend as much time in spiritual things as you spend in those secular things? If you are spending more time in secular things than you are in spiritual things, God is going to call you into an account. You're going to have to stand before God. Somebody is going to squeal on you. Somebody going to tell it. I saw him at the club when he ought to should have been at church. All right, good preaching, Brother Gibbs. Now watch this now. May I suggest to us, as I close, let's be good stewards over our talents and our abilities. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. The Bible said, as every man that hath the gift, even so, I'm in 1 Peter 4, 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to another. As good stewards, as what? Good stewards of the what? Of the what? The manifold what? Grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man what? Minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. Whatever you have, God gave it to you. And God knows what your abilities are. Like he gave some five, gave one two, and another one. He knows how many talents and how many abilities and gifts you have. And if you don't use them, God's going to call us into account. God's going to ask us, what have you done with the things that I have given you? Are you using your abilities just to advance yourself, or are you using your abilities to advance the kingdom of God? I'm telling you, if you don't use it for the kingdom of God, God is going to ask you on it. He's going to call you on that. Use your abilities for the kingdom of God. As we raise our children, help our children understand that they don't belong to us as parents. They belong to the God who allowed you as a parent to bring them into the world. But tell that child he belongs to God. All of what he is and all that he will be, it belongs to God. God's got to get the credit. If you put yourself before God, God is not going to be pleased. God is going to call you into account. God is going to do just as he did with that other one. He's going to cast you out. And as you look at the other parables, you find that the idea of being cast out is not good. That's why you got to be wise like this crooked, unjust man. You better prepare for the judgment. And you better say to yourself, don't live as though there won't be a judgment. Don't live as though I will have to make a decision as to go to heaven or hell. Be wise. Say to yourself, I want to make heaven my home. And so if you want to make heaven your home, say to yourself, you better be careful how I use my money. Say to yourself, I better be careful how I use my time. Say to yourself, I better be careful how I use my gifts and my abilities. This is the lesson. May God bless you. May God keep you. And I hope and pray that as Jesus teaches us, that we will take his word and we will apply his word. And if you do that, he'll bless your life. He's in the blessing business. Always has been, always will be. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn of me. Come into my classroom. Let me teach you about life. Know that I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'll teach you about life. I didn't come to take from you. I didn't come to steal or to kill. I came that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. I'm your best friend. I'm your only friend, to be honest about it, because I'm a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. I'll go with you in the shadow of death. I will be with you on the other side of death. I will be the one who will usher you into my Father's kingdom. And I'll tell my Father, I know him because he knew me. When the question was asked, who is this Jesus? I said, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you do that, Jesus will allow you to eat with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in his Father's kingdom. You'll be able to sit down with the angels, go back and get all of the patriarchs, get all of those individuals. You'll even be able to sit down with those faithful saints that have gone on before us. I'm looking forward to that day, but I got to think about it now and be careful how I use my money, how I use my time, and how I use my abilities. May God bless you. If you're here, come to Jesus. You come by hearing his gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ to be the Son of God, buried with him in the watery grave of baptism. Don't let folk tell you baptism is not essential. It is essential. Why, Brother Gibb? Because Jesus said it. That's why it's essential. Do it because Jesus said it. And when you come up, he will free you from your sins, cleanse you, and he'll cleanse you from your past, present, and future sin. If you walk in the light as he is in the light and add to your faith, faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge, and knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you and abound, they'll make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful. Mm-hmm. Am I right about it? But you'll be in the knowledge of the Son of God. But if you lack these things, he said you're blind and you forgotten that you were purged from your old sin. So walk in the light. Walk in the newness of life. Walk as a good steward of God Almighty. See what God would do for you in the end. Come right now while together we stand and sing, Will You Come?
Number 572. 572.